You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this week, the National Business Review released its annual Rich List, which contains information about who the wealthiest people in Aotearoa are. It found that the wealthiest in Aotearoa are now collectively worth over $100 billion. I spoke to Mike McRoberts, Te Ao Māori editor at the NBR, about the list, including its timing in a cost of living crisis and what it means for Māori. I started by asking what the list is and why it's published.
The Rich List is something that NBR has done for a number of years, and I guess it's a reflection of some of the movers and shakers, if you like, in New Zealand. It's not always about money, but there is a $100 million cut-off point to get onto the list, I think. But there's a lot of stuff around philanthropy and that kind of thing too. So in this year's Rich List, the NBR Rich List, there's 119 Kiwi individuals and families who are on the list, and that includes about a dozen newcomers to the 2025 Rich List. And all up, I think the total valuation of this year's Rich List is something like $102.1 billion, up from about $95 billion last year.
Apart from what you've already outlined, how does this year's list compare to past ones?
I think the fact that we have more billionaires, we have two more billionaires, so I think we have something like 18 billionaires this year, up from 16 last year. The Ziru founders, Nick and Matt Mowbray, are still number one. Their valuation comes in at around $20 billion. I think the thing that's different is the fact that we have so many newcomers. And also this year we've done a women's list as well, who traditionally don't feature in that top echelon, I guess, of our rich list, but we wanted to profile some of the up-and-coming business leaders. And often they're involved with some family trusts and that kind of thing as well. So it's been wonderful to be able to feature them too.
Is it appropriate for this kind of wealth to be celebrated during a cost of living crisis where many people are struggling due to no fault of their own?
Yeah, it's a very good question, Caden. I guess, amongst our coverage of the list, we had a really interesting piece with the Green Party. With the Green Party leader, Chloe Swarbrick, who called for a fair tax system, a wealth tax because of it. And so I guess the one thing is within that wealth is a lot of job creations. And as I've talked about, the philanthropy too, where various rich listers are giving back in other ways. But yeah, there's a balance. I'm not sure that I'm probably the right person to work out what their balance is. But I actually spent a bit of time with Peter Cooper, who is a billionaire. I think he's worth about $1.6 billion. He's the property developer who revamped and revitalised Britomart. He's also got a property up in the Bay of Islands called The Landing. He spends most of his time in California, but he's also Māori, and so to see and hear his story and the way he goes about business, I think is quite inspiring. The use of manaakitanga, kotahitanga, kaitiakitanga, all of those things I felt was a really good story to tell, and one that might be inspiring to other Māori businesses.
This feeds really well into my next question, which is, in Aotearoa, we know there's a significant wealth gap between Māori and Pākehā. Is this reflected in the Rich List?
Yes, it is. But also, we don't include on the Rich List because we tend to look at individuals, not trusts. So if you think of some of the big entities like Ngāi Tahu and Waikato Tainui, who are just doing amazing work. Waikato Tainui, obviously, just a month ago, signing a billion-dollar deal with Brookfields to develop Ruakura. They don't feature on this because they're an organisation or a trust as such, an entity. But what we have seen, and that's my job at NBR as Te Ao Māori editor, to report on the Māori economy, is a real growth in the number of Māori entrepreneurs. So people going out on their own in business, and they tend to be in quite diverse areas too, Māori tech. Really interesting and diverse pathways that they're taking. And so hopefully we will see that spring up in the future and they become, you know, more influential in their leadership.
What has the broad public response been to the Rich List being published?
I think it's kind of one of those things where, you know, people probably roll their eyes a little bit. We're a business publication. We are subscriber-based only, so we don't have advertising or government funding. So for our subscribers, they love it. I mean, we've had an increase in subscriptions since the list was released on Monday. But I think for the general public, there's some stuff they can take out of it. As I said, talked about the newcomers and maybe the direction that some of the businesses in New Zealand are going in. And where opportunities may be. I think, you know, we need to have a strong business community. The Prime Minister keeps talking about, you know, growth, but that's got to come from somewhere. And whether it's, you know, with our agricultural sector, a few days on this week, or our business community, you know, it's all about those opportunities and growing those opportunities.
Can you speak a bit more about what that political response has been?
The political response to the list?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, as I mentioned, Chloe Swarbrick saw it as a great opportunity to say that we should have a wealth tax. The Prime Minister was asked whether New Zealand having 18 billionaires and rich lists collectively worth more than 100 billion was a good thing or a bad thing. He thought of it was fantastic that we've got people with ambition and aspiration. So it's the political reaction has gone much the way you'd expect the political reaction to go, I suppose.
That was the National Business Review Te Ao Māori editor Mike McRoberts on their recently published Rich List. The Rich List can be viewed on the MBR website if you have a subscription, which is free for students.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.